All right, good morning, everybody. Hope you got a Bible, and I want you to turn to, let's do a little experiment. I want you to try to find the middle of your Bible and just open it up. I just want to see where you end up. Give me some feedback here. Where do you end up? Some of Isaiah, Jeremiah? Oh, man, we're all over the board. Okay, well, that didn't work out so well. Go to Psalms and go to 119. And I was taking a look here at where Psalm 119 is in my Bible, and it's pretty close. If you take a look, it's pretty close to being right in the middle. Might be a little off. They say Psalm 118, verse 8 is the middle verse in the Bible, and then the next chapter, Psalm 119. So right around there in the heart of the Bible, you find Psalm 119, and you're going to have to go probably a couple pages from the beginning. Go to 76, verse 76. A couple things about this chapter before we read. We'll read about five verses here, but this is the longest chapter in the Bible. And the theme of the longest chapter in the Bible is this psalmist, this writer, most likely David, his love for the words of God. And if David was a man after God's own heart, the way to be a man or a woman after God's own heart is to have a love for God's words. So there's a lot of great verses in this chapter. And I was looking at, well, the ones we read apply in this way, and there's others that apply in this way. You could take a lot of these verses and make them your own personal prayer. So we're going to read five verses here, and all these you could make your own personal prayer. Now, don't just recite it as a vain repetition. Say it and mean it as if you really are talking to the Lord. And there's some great things here. If you ever struggle praying, by the way, this is a good little thing for everybody. If you ever struggle praying, open the Psalms. And a lot of the Psalms are great prayers poured out to the Lord. And you can use those as your own. And you don't have to say the same words. But sometimes, maybe to get started, if you're struggling with praying, it's a good place to go. I don't know if you ever struggle praying, but I do. And I turn over here and say, okay, let me get going and then be on the right path. Let's go to verse 76. And you're going to notice, before we read, 76 through 80, the first word in each of those verses, what is it? Let. So this is the psalmist asking God for some things, and it begins each verse with let, and he's desiring some things. So here we go, verse 76. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be found in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. You notice that as we read how you could make each of those your own personal prayer, asking God for some specific things here. So we'll pray and then we'll jump into the message here this morning. So let's bow our heads. Lord, we sure thank you for the freedom to read your words and the fact we got them right in front of us. I pray that your words find a place in everyone's heart here this morning, whether they're here in person or watching online, and we just pray that spiritual work is accomplished this morning. We know that is impossible unless your Holy Spirit is doing the work. And we just want to invite you, Lord, to do work in each one of our hearts today and just have your perfect will and way in our service. May the things that I say be what you once said and nothing else. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Real quick, another note here about Psalm 119. I want you to take a look, start in verse 76. In verse 76 all the way down through 80, and in most of the verses in this chapter, you can find a word that is a synonym for God's words. Verse 76 is easy. What's the synonym in verse 76? It's not really a synonym. It's the same word. What is it? Thy word. You see that? Look at 77. Do you see a synonym for God's words in 77? Thy law. Yeah, you're on it. How about 78, right at the end there? Thy precepts. 79, thy testimonies. And then 80, thy statutes. Okay, so you'll see, I think there's all but just a small handful, maybe 4 or 5 verses out of 176 that have a synonym for God's words. Again, indicating the theme of the chapter is God's word and this man's love for God's word. So it's just like the Lord to take his word and have us do a little self-examination. Over in 1 Corinthians 11, we often read that before the Lord's Supper, and it says, let a man examine himself. And it's kind of interesting. When I got all done with this message, and I titled it, A Spiritual Examination, I got all done, and then I thought to myself, hold on a second. And this is probably Pastor has experienced this before. I thought, hold on. Did I have this same title for another message? Maybe some time ago? And I look back, and in February of last year, there was a message called A Spiritual Heart Checkup. So, this is not the same message. It's a different message. But that was almost a year ago. How often ought you go to the doctor? Say, about once a year. Now, in a spiritual sense, you ought to be going to the Lord a lot more than once a year if you're going to be healthy. But as a general rule, you might want to do a massive overview of your spiritual health once a year. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is not a massive overview because we don't have time for that. But we'll give you a few things here this morning, and the goal of this would be all of us compare ourselves to God's words. And you know what you're going to find happen? I'll just prepare you. You know what you're going to find happen? You're not going to line up. I'm not going to line up. And you can get mad, or you can get right with God. Choose B. A, get mad. B, get right with God. Choose B. So, this is what the Lord gave me this morning, so I'm not going after anybody. This is between you and the Lord does this work with His Spirit and His Word. So let's take a look here. I'm going to ask you 3 questions here. The first one is going to come out of verse 76. So let's read verse 76 again. It says, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort. Key word in that verse this morning, comfort. According to thy word unto thy servant. And as I was looking at this, I want to ask you the question, what is your source of comfort? What is your source of comfort? So I'll give you a few things here that people go to for comfort in our world. This is going to be a favorite of a lot of you. It's a favorite of mine. You ever hear of comfort food? It sounds silly, but food is a source of comfort. People get depressed. A lot of times they eat just to try to get their mind off whatever it is they're depressed about. All right, so comfort food. The problem with comfort food is it only is going to make you comfortable for a short amount of time. It's not going to satisfy you for long. And you know what you're going to have to do after a while? Get some more food so that you are comforted. We can say that about all the things I have here. I just have a couple more. But other people turn to drugs and alcohol for comfort. And if people do that, how long do they get, quote, heavy quotes here, comfortable? Because it's not really comfort. It's a fake comfort. How long do they get comfortable, though? A few hours, maybe. And then what do they got to do? They got to go right back to it. It's the strangest thing. I don't understand people who continually go to get high with drugs or to get drunk. They do the act to escape reality. And then for a short amount of time, they're escaping reality. And then after that time is up, where it wears off, things are worse than you were before you actually did the drugs or the alcohol, isn't it? Because now you've got that weighing on you that I did it again. Right? So it never satisfies, but temporarily. And you got to keep going back to it for satisfaction. It doesn't give you anything eternal or long term even. Not to mention, those things are damaging to the body. And I'll say a word because us Baptists like to eat. I'll go back to the food thing here. You know, the wrong kind of food or the wrong amount of food can be damaging to your body too. See, we like to talk about drugs and alcohol. That's a no-brainer. It can damage your body, right? So can food. The wrong kind of food can too, or too much food. So beware of that. Other folks, this was me for a long time. Seek comfort in watching sports. It's the great escape. You're watching your team. But you know what happens when you watch your team and you're depending on your team to lift you up? What happens? They lose. Your source of comfort is gone. That's me for a long time, and just get enthralled in the game. Then you get all mad when things don't turn out the way you want them to. Other people, this is really popular in the last several years, they seek comfort in online platforms, whether it be social media or video games. It's the escape from reality. But now I'll tell you, that stinking social media stuff, you actually dig yourself a hole getting in that stuff. It's not really much of an escape. Oftentimes make things worse. But video games, these are some things that I've seen people over the years struggle with, some of these things I mentioned. And we could go on and on. All those things I mentioned there only provide you a short amount of time of, and I'm going to quote this again, comfort, because it's not really comfort. But people go to that for comfort. None of these things provide the comfort that is provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? None of those things give you comfort like only He can provide. Look at what the psalmist prays. Did you see this? 76, verse 76. Let I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my... I'm going to tell you the most comfortable thing that you could know is where you're going to spend eternity. The most comfortable thing that you could know, the most comforting thing you could know would be to know about the tender mercies of God. So let's spend just a moment here talking about mercy. Notice in the next verse, he calls them, 76, he calls it merciful kindness of the Lord. Verse 77, thy tender mercies, the tender mercies of the Lord. Let's look at a couple more things about mercy here real quick. A little Bible study on mercy here, just to take a couple minutes. Go to Genesis 19. What is mercy? Let's go to the Webster's Dictionary, right? How about a better place? Let's go to the Bible. Now, you can go to the dictionary, and you'll actually probably get a pretty good definition that would line up with the Bible here on mercy. But let's take a look at the first time you see any mention of mercy in your Bible, and you'll see that you can make an application yourself. I know I could from this. I'll give you background here. We'll read a couple verses starting in verse 15, but before we read, this is Lot. Remember old Lot, Abraham's nephew? Lot got himself in a mess. You know why he got himself in a mess? He chose the wrong place to live. You choose the wrong place to live, you're around the wrong people. If you're around the wrong people, their influence will eventually affect you. Lot's called a righteous man. Yet, it says in the New Testament, he vexed his righteous soul. His soul was vexed by the people that he was around. And you know where he was living, right? Sodom. And that place was wicked, a very perverted place. So, if you know the story here, the Lord sends some angels to get Lot out of the city before the Lord destroys the city. So the goal here are these angels. Let's get this guy out, and then the Lord can do his work with the city and destroy the city. But this guy's going to be safe. But look what happens here. Look at verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Okay, before I read the next verse, if he stays in the city, what's going to happen to Lot? He'll die. If he gets out of the city, he'll continue on. He'll survive. All right, verse 16. And while he lingered, well, I tell you, that's good preaching right there. I could preach on that little phrase there. While he lingered, just couldn't leave, could he? This is a righteous man, but he is so attracted to that city and its wickedness, he is not ready to leave yet. Just hanging around casually. Folks, don't be casual with hanging around sinful acts or sinful people. Get away! Get as far away as you can. Look at verse 16. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. Watch what it says. The Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Did Lot make it out? He sure did, but those angels had to grab him and say, let's go, man. What was God showing in that act right there with the angels taking him by the hand and pulling him out? What's it say there? That's the mercy of God. You know what mercy is? Lot did not get that which he deserved. And what he deserved was to be in the punishment of that city. He's living among all those people, acting probably like those people to some degree. And the Lord said, I'm going to be merciful a lot. I'm not going to give him what he deserves in punishing him. So you know what mercy is, folks? Compassion or forgiveness shown by the Lord so that when it's in his power to punish, and he certainly is worthy of punishing, he doesn't punish. You catch all that? I'll say it again. Compassion shown by the Lord towards someone who it is within one's power to punish or harm. So the Lord has every right to punish Lot, doesn't he? What's he do? I'm not going to punish him. He didn't get what he deserved. You know what that is? That's the mercy of God. Now let me ask you a question. Have you experienced the mercy of God? Every one of us in here, every one of us, all of us, if we got what we deserve, we'd spend eternity in a lake of fire. Right? If we got what we deserve, we would not live in this country with the freedoms we got. See, we like to complain about all how bad things are. Folks, be thankful you don't get what you deserve when it comes to God giving you the consequences that you and I deserve. The fact that he hasn't given that to us, and through Jesus Christ eternally will never give you that consequence, is the mercy of God. Amen? You experience the mercy of God? Now, go back to Psalm 119. Let's read this verse again, and we'll go to a verse in the New Testament before we go to the next message. What is your source of comfort? A little self-examination this morning. A little spiritual examination. Look at 76 again. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort. 77. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live. You know what you need to make it in this life, folks? You need the mercy of God. Real quick, Ephesians 2. We could chase a bunch of New Testament verses on mercy. We'll just go to one passage here. Ephesians 2. By the way, let me ask you a question while you're turning there to Ephesians 2. Is everybody, does God desire to be merciful to everybody? Did you know that God is not merciful to everybody? How come? Let's read here. Ephesians 2. And verse 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead, past tense, were dead in trespasses in sin, and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, verses 2 and 3 there talk about, if you're saved, how it was before you got saved. Look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How is it that you can spend eternity in heaven instead of the lake of fire? It's the mercy of God. Notice in there in verse 4, it says, rich in mercy, speaking of the Lord, for his great love wherewith he loved us. What was the act of love shown by the Lord? Well, for God so loved the world that he did what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, help me out, believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you got the mercy of God. You're not going to spend eternity apart from God. You're not going to pay for your sins. Jesus paid for your sins. Amen? How about think about the mercy of God? Isn't that comforting? Is it not a comfort to know if you drop dead today, you'll be in a better place than you are right now? No coronavirus in heaven. Right? No socialism or communism up there. Amen. So think about the mercy of God. It ought to be a great source of comfort to you today. Just think about that for a while. Be careful about doing this one. But you think about what God could have done at different points of your life, maybe before you got saved, what could have happened. And then think about what did happen. You trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and now you're saved. Wow, the mercy of God sure is good, isn't it? Real quick, go to Psalm 136. Spent a lot of time on the mercy of God, but I kind of like this. Psalm 136. I won't take time to read the whole chapter because you'll see a common theme in this chapter. Look at verse 1. Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His... How long does it last? His mercy endureth forever. Okay, let's go down the list. Food, drugs, alcohol, sports, online junk, all that stuff. You make a long list. How long does it last? Short amount of time. How long does God's mercy last? Forever! You've received the mercy of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You got His mercy forever. Notice something here? God is a great teacher. And you know what a great teacher does? They have a tendency to repeat themselves, so the point will be driven home. Did you notice what comes at the end of every verse in Psalm 136? Look down there. Verse 2. For His mercy endureth forever. 3. His mercy endureth forever. Go on down there to 10. For His mercy endureth forever. You think the Lord's trying to tell us something here? 15. For His mercy endureth forever. Go down to 20. For His mercy endureth forever. 25. For His mercy endureth forever. 26. For His mercy endureth forever. Why does God say it 26 times in a chapter? Why? Because you got it. Repetition is good. As Pastor says, repetition is theological glue. We said it a few times. You got it. Don't forget that the greatest source of comfort is the Lord God Almighty. His mercy doesn't go away. Anything else you try to comfort yourself with will be short term. Very short term. Mercy of God, the mercy of God lasts you forever. Amen? So let me ask you a question again. Here's question number one on your little examination, your spiritual examination, all of us. What is your source of comfort? A good way to tell. You know, you can lie in public to people, but the Lord knows your heart. You can say, well, my comfort is the mercy of God, and you can sound all right. How about you look at the last 7 days? When things got tough and you need a little comfort, where'd you go? Now, only you know and God knows. But where'd you go? Things got tough. I'll tell you another source of comfort that we turn to. This is a popular one among Baptists and a lot of folks. We don't like the way things are going. What do? We complain. And complaining brings comfort, doesn't it? Not really. Because after you complain, the problem's still there. See, but we seek comfort in what we do is we like to complain not to ourselves. Who do we like to complain to? Other people. And what do we just do to them? We defile them with our complaining. You see? You didn't comfort yourself, and you didn't even comfort the person you were talking to. You made them mad, too. You know how this goes in the workplace. One person starts complaining. They tell another. Another person's like, man, you're right. I never thought about this before. That's wrong. I can't believe what that guy did. They go to somebody else, and before it, you know, and the whole thing's blown up, and everybody hates working at that place now. All started with one person complaining, right? Don't seek comfort in complaining. Seek comfort in the mercy of God. It's the best source of comfort you got. So, you know and the Lord knows what your source of comfort has been, but the best source of comfort is the mercy of God. By the way, how can you experience the mercy of God to its fullest? How about with a close, personal, daily, every minute of the day relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Hearing from Him and talking to Him as you go through all day long. And you'll see you'll experience the mercy of God. You know what God will show you throughout the day? He'll show you situations where you could have been in a mess, and He didn't let you be in a mess. He extended His mercy to you. He said, man, you almost ended up over there because you're walking with me. Look where you are. That's because of me. The Lord's saying that. That's because of me, not you. I took care of you. The Lord ever do that for you? You ever just notice throughout the day? You're like, man, the Lord was good to me right there. I should have been over here. I would have been in a mess if I'd have been over there, but I was over here instead. Thank you, Lord. Appreciate that, Lord. Mercy of God. Man, what a great thing, huh? We can pack it up right now. Mercy of God sure is good. Let's go back to Psalm 119. Let's get this next question. I think this goes along with what I just said there. If you notice there in verse 77, last thing on mercy, I promise. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live. And then notice what he says here. For thy law is my delight. So there's a connection there with knowing about God's mercy extended towards you by delighting in the Word of God. You'll understand. You'll read it. If you'll take the time to read the Scriptures, you'll see one individual after another in your Bible who God greatly used, but they were just like me and you. They were not sinless. And you know what God was doing whenever He used them in spite of themselves? Take David, for instance. You know what he was showing? That's His mercy at work. That's God using a man or a woman who is flawed. I mean, seriously flawed. And God says, you know what? I'll use you because you're submissive to me. That's the mercy of God. God didn't have to do that. So let's go on here. Look at verse 77. I kind of already gave away the next point here. At the end of verse 77, the psalmist says, "For thy law is my what?" Here's question number two this morning. Question number one was, what is your source of comfort? Question number two, what is your delight, or what do you delight in? So we'll have some fun with this before we get into some spiritual stuff. Might hurt a little bit, so we'll have some fun here, where it may not hurt, or maybe it does hurt. Your delight is that which you take pleasure in, that which you enjoy. So have you ever noticed all of the foods, food again, that have the word delight? I wrote down a few here. Chocolate delight, Turkish delight, crab delight, strawberry delight, luscious lemon delight, Oreo delight, one of my favorites, pumpkin delight, dark raspberry delight, and the list goes on and on. Why would all those foods, and there's a big giant list we could have gone through there, why would all those foods be connected with delight? How come, folks? Those are things that we enjoy. Those are things we take pleasure in. Now, I'm not preaching against eating. I'm not. We all got to eat. But once again, you know what can become, I don't know if I've ever heard anybody talk a whole lot about this, but you know what can become an idol? Is food. It absolutely can. What your idols are what you talk about the most. And you probably know people that are foodies. They talk about food all the time. Hey, you ever been to this restaurant? You ever been to that restaurant? Hey, you know what I made last night? How to try this? Get exchanging recipes. In fact, Brother James and I and Sherry and Jules were talking about this yesterday, about this whole thing with barbecue. You can get into that thing and that can even become idolatrous. So beware of that. Food is a good thing. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for giving us food. That tastes different. Everything's a little bit different. It's got its own flavor. Amen. Thank you, Lord. However, don't let that be your main source of delight. So let's take a look at some things about delight. Go back in that same chapter, verse 70. Look at verse 70. Kind of funny here. This is on the line of food and a contrast in verse 70. Look at this. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. Isn't that interesting wording there? You know what people love? Fried food full of grease. And what does it do to your heart and your belly? It makes your heart not function properly, and it makes your belly bigger than it should be. Just being honest right here. Isn't that something? The Lord knew a few things about the American diet in 2021, didn't He? Their heart is as fat as grease. Contrast. Look at the contrast. I know that's kind of funny and all, but look at the contrast. But I delight in... That should be our delight right there. God's words ought to be our delight. Go over to Matthew chapter 4 in your Bible. Matthew chapter 4. And again, you'll see the Lord Himself here will say a word about physical food. And physical food's not bad. But let's get it in the right place. Matthew 4. This is the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that He didn't give in when He was tempted? He was at all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. And here's the temptation by the devil, the Lord Jesus Christ being tempted of the devil in the wilderness. Look at verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered. Now, before I go on here, you should read your Bible and you find out there's great spiritual power made available in fasting. You want to see God move? Maybe you've got some prayers you've been praying for a while and they haven't been answered. I'll tell you, do some fasting. Maybe just a meal, maybe a couple of meals, maybe a day, maybe a couple of days. How long did the Lord fast? Did you know that you can go 40 days without food? You can. Now, I don't recommend, if you've never done any fasting, that you start off with 40 days. That's not a good idea. You want to start small here. But I'm telling you, and Sherry and I could both tell you, there is spiritual power in fasting. And I'm telling you, we've seen some big prayers answered as a result of fasting. Now, don't just not eat. Don't just take the time and say, I'm not going to eat, and deprive yourself. Take that time that you would have been eating and talk to the Lord and spend some time in His Word and get spiritual food here. Because look what the Lord says next. Verse 3. Or the devil first, and then we'll see what the Lord's response is. Verse 3. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, before we read verse 4, could the Lord have done that? Yeah, but the Lord does not take orders from the devil. Amen. Look at verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone," there's your physical, "but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Folks, it's okay to eat. You ought to eat. You need to eat. But don't make that your main delight. Our delight ought to be like the psalmist. It ought to be in the very words of God. What did the Lord delight in? The Lord Jesus Christ delight in more than physical food. Every word of God. You know where he's quoting there, by the way? That's out of Deuteronomy. The Lord Jesus Christ knew his Old Testament. And I'm guessing that he probably didn't have a scroll in front of him when he said that. You know what that means? He memorized it. He had it in his heart. You know why you need to put God's word in your heart? It's available no matter where you are. No matter what situation you find yourself in. You don't have a Bible? If it's in your heart, you can pull it up. Amen? Hide God's word in your heart, and you can delight in it any time, no matter where you are or what you're doing. It's a great thing to do. Some people delight. Here's some things that people delight in today. Some people delight in unbelief, and they just outright reject the Lord Jesus Christ. A man many years ago named Voltaire. He was an infidel of the most pronounced type, and here's what he said. This is a man that delighted in unbelief. He said, quote, "I wish I had never been born," end of quote. How sad. This is a guy that outright rejected the Lord and wanted everybody to know how he was against God, and that's what he said. Sounds like his delight didn't work out too well for him, did it? How about some people delight in pleasure? Lord Byron, an English poet and politician, had a great life of pleasure. And here's what he wrote. He wrote this towards the end of his life. He said, quote, "The worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone," end of quote. These people who delight in things other than the Lord don't end so well, do they? They see what it's all about once they get to a certain point of life. Some people delight in money. Jay Gould, American millionaire, had a whole lot of money. And when he was dying, here's what he said, quote, "I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth," end of quote. You know why? What good did that money do him on his deathbed? It didn't do him any good at all. Some delight in position and fame. A man named Lord Beaconsfield, British politician, who was twice the Prime Minister of the UK, had more than his fair share of high positions and fame. And here's what he wrote. Quote, "Youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, old age a regret," end of quote. That man had a lot of power. What does he end his life with? Towards the end of his life, he says these things as if to say, all that I had, just like Solomon, vanity, nothing to it. How about one more? Some delight in military glory or power. Alexander the Great conquered the known world in his day. Having done so, he wept in his tent because he said, quote, "There are no more worlds to conquer," end of quote. Man died at age 33. Had no purpose in life after he had accomplished the main purpose of his life. And he died, a young man. Go back to your Old Testament here. Go back to Psalm 119. A few things here about delight. You'll see this is a common theme about what the psalmist delighted in here. Psalm 119. Go to verse 92. Psalm 119, 92. We saw over there where we read to start off with, "Thy law is my delight." Notice you'll see that again here. Look at Psalm 119, verse 92. "Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction." All those men I just read about perished in affliction. What if they would have substituted whatever it was that they lived for delighting in God's words? They would have been at the end of their life and said, it's about to get a whole lot better once I pass on from death to life, to real life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Go over to Psalm 119, go to 174, all the way close to the end. Kind of interesting thing here, little fun thing about Psalm 119. There's 176 verses, right? We'll read verse 174 here in a minute. But 176 verses. Now here's a little fun math. Your King James Bible was completed in the year 1611, right? Do the math. If you do 16 times 11, you know what you get? By mere coincidence. 16 times 11? 176. What's the theme of this chapter? God's words. Maybe that's coincidence. I think that's fun regardless. Lord, throw those things around sometime and show you those things. Look at verse 174. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my... There's the right kind of delight. Over in Psalm 1, you don't have to go there, but the psalmist says, his delight, talking about the righteous man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You want to be comforted? You want to have the right delight? Make God's words your delight and your comfort. Amen? Go back to where we were, Psalm 119. Go to 78. And you'll notice here, this goes along with this second point, what's your delight? Notice that the Lord just kind of lays this out here, showing us that the world can be tough on us sometimes. Look at verse 78. Look at what this the writer here prays. Look what he prays in 78. Let the proud be ashamed. You ever pray that? People coming against you, and you say, Lord, just take care of them. Make them ashamed. Yeah, be careful about how you pray that. You don't want to pray with a heart that says, I just want them to be gone, Lord. You want to pray that the Lord will make them ashamed so they'll get saved. So they'll see the light of the Word of God. So be careful about that. Don't pray it out of hate. But it says there, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. Now look at the response there. You're surrounded by all these people that are full of pride, full of perversion there. And he says at the end of the verse, what's he do in spite of that? What's he say? But I will meditate in thy precepts. The proud can be burdensome. Folks, don't focus on the people around you that are bringing you down. Focus on the Lord. Focus on his word. It'll keep your mind off those people that are bringing you down. If you didn't need that, I did. People bring you down, won't they? People can be burdensome to you. People come after you for no reason. Get your mind off of them and focus on the Lord and ask the Lord to take care of them. Lord, take care of them better than you and I can. We often got our own ideas, and the Lord says, just stop it. Just stop. I can do this way better than you can. But let me do it in my time. Because we want it right now, don't we? We want the Lord to take care of them now. The Lord says, I'll do it in my time. And when I do it, I'll take care of it the best way it can be taken care of. Just trust Him. All right, look at 79. Now, here's the right kind of people you want to be around. Let those that fear thee turn unto me. Isn't it good to have some friends that fear God, that love the Lord, that love His Word? Isn't that good? See the contrast in verse 78, you got the proud. Man, they can bring grief to you. Then in verse 79, you want to have some people surrounding you that are going to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. Amen? I mean, the world could be, especially if you work in a secular place, the world can get tough on you, can't it? Isn't it great to come here on a Sunday and spend a good part of the day, and then on Wednesday and spend a little time just being around people that fear God, that love His Word, that love the Lord Jesus Christ? This is one reason why you need to come to church. I know you can get it at home, I understand all that, but something about the social aspect, being around people that believe as you do, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that want to talk about the Lord, want to talk about spiritual things, it's spiritually healthy for you, isn't it? Just like somebody to say, oh, you can't go to church anymore, you got to watch it from home. You can only do it at home now. Somebody's trying to keep something from you, aren't they? You need to be around God's people. And it's encouraging to be. I like coming to be around y'all because it's encouraging knowing I'm not in this fight all by myself. And I know we got the Lord, and if you're with the Lord, you can't lose. But it sure is nice to have some people that are like-minded. Amen? All right? So how's your comfort? How's your delight? Let's look at this last thing. Look at verse 80. This would be a fun one here too. Let my heart be what? Sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Folks, a verse in the New Testament, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You don't want to be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ, do you? You better get in the word of God. You better have, look at verse 80, let my heart be sound in what? Thy statutes. You better make sure that your heart, I'm talking spiritually here, is sound in God's words. Our world is full of saved people that don't have a heart that is sound in the Word of God. So let me show you a couple things about this. Go to Proverbs. We'll wrap up here. Some verses here. A verse in the Old and then a few in the New Testament here. Proverbs 14. Sound. What does that mean? Sound. Could mean solid, strong, reliable, without error. Don't you want your doctrine to be without error? We'll see sound doctrine in the New Testament here in a minute. What does God want your heart to be? He wants you to have a sound heart that is focused on His statutes, that is led by His statutes, His words. Proverbs 14, look at verse 30. A sound heart is the life of, what's that say there? The flesh. But envy, the rottenness of the bones. Do you mean to tell me that in the Bible, how you are spiritually can affect you physically? That's exactly right. Any psychologist will tell you that. The spiritual will affect the physical. And folks, if you don't have a sound heart spiritually, it will affect your physical health. So physical health, I believe, begins with having good spiritual health. And then there's more that you got to go on from there, but that's a great start there. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. All right, go to New Testament. This word sound. There's a sound heart a couple times. Go to 2 Timothy 1. Familiar verse probably to you. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Lord, give us a sound heart. 2 Timothy 1. We're down there at verse 7. A sound heart. Let's see what we got here as far as the word sound goes. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Boy, the world needs to hear that, don't they? While the world is going crazy because they're scared, they're fearful, folks, we ought not be fearful. Let me say that again. Bible-believing Christians ought not be fearful. The spirit of fear is not of God. What are you scared of? All right, let's go on here. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. I'll take that instead of fear. And of love. That's better than fear. And of a sound mind. You need a sound heart. You also need a sound mind. All right, let's go over to 2 Timothy 1:13, just a few verses over. Verse 13. Look what Paul told Timothy here. He said, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. You need a sound heart. You need a sound mind. How are you going to have a sound heart and mind? Make sure you're focusing on the sound words of God found in the Scriptures. That's how you get a sound mind and a sound heart. Look over at Titus, next book in your Bible, Titus chapter 2. Just get two more verses here, we'll be done. Both in Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Let's see what we got in the word sound here. But speak thou the things which become sound. You want to have a sound heart? You want to have a sound mind? You'll get both of those by having sound words. I believe this King James Bible has the sound words we all need here. And if you have the sound words in your possession, you will have sound doctrine. You mess with the words, you mess up the doctrine. If you don't have the sound words, you don't have sound doctrine, and you're not going to have a sound mind or a sound heart. This is why, a little side note here, this is why we got Christians today that don't have a sound heart and a sound mind. They haven't got the sound Scriptures. They got some other copy of the Scriptures that doesn't have all that they need. It's a complete diet here. You need all of it. Look at verse 8. Titus chapter 2, verse 8. Last one here we'll look at. Titus 2, 8. Titus 2, 8 says, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Paul's telling Timothy here, he says, hey, you want to have sound speech. Now, where do the words that come out of your mouth originate? For the abundance, there you go, Brother Phil, for the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you don't have a sound heart, you're not going to have sound speech. To have a sound heart and mind, you need sound words that will give you sound doctrine. You see how the whole thing goes together here? And where does it all begin? You better make sure you got your comfort and delight in the right place here. God's words. I know this is something that's preached here often. The importance of God's words. You know what we need to hear? How important God's words are. I mean, this Sunday, next Sunday, how about on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Because we drift away from God's words and we get, our thinking gets all messed up. See, if you substitute the sound words of Scripture with Fox News, CNN, all that nonsense, you're going to go nuts. You're not going to have a sound heart, a sound mind, and you're not going to have sound speech. You're going to be angry all the time. Folks, little spiritual examination this morning here. I'll ask you the questions again. What is your source of comfort? The Lord and His Word ought to be our number one source of comfort. What is your delight? What do you delight in? What do you take pleasure in? God's words and spending time with the Lord and walking with Him ought to be our main delight. And then the last thing I mentioned there from our passage there, last thing, how is your heart? God wants you to have help me out there, what kind of a heart? A sound heart. And here, all three points. Where does it begin? It begins with having the sound words of Scripture. So let's bow our heads this morning. And I'll just ask you, how's it with you this morning concerning your comfort, your delight, and your heart? Little examination. Now, anytime you go to the doctor will often tell you what's wrong with you. That's what you go to the doctor for if you got something wrong. I don't know what's wrong with you spiritually, but the Lord does. And I just encourage all of us, let's do some business with the Lord to make sure that if He's pointed out something that we need to make right, we make it right now and don't put it off. Lord, thank You for Your words. Thank You for just how encouraging it is to think about Your mercy. How encouraging it is to think about how You miraculously preserve Your words for us so that we might have a sound heart, mind, and sound doctrine and sound speech. I pray, Lord, that here this morning we would respond in a way that would honor You and that You be glorified. And You just do something with the words that we read this morning, and I pray Your Holy Spirit just does the spiritual work that all of us need on our hearts this morning. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.